Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our text for tonight is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. A new commandment Jesus gives. Love like this, he commands. Love with hands, not just with heart. Love with actions, not just feelings. Love by dying, as I have loved you. We know from childhood, the little song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Every power is at his disposal. Every authority under heaven and earth is his. He has created everything, and he holds everything in his eternal hands. And now Jesus says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that he had wrapped around him. Jesus holds the whole world in his hands. And what will he do with those hands? He will remove his outer garment, and the eternal God, that the eternal God is garbed in, and he will lay them aside and take up a bowl of water and use his divine hands to remove the sandals from the scummy, dirty, travel-worn feet of his disciples, who were quite honestly too proud to do it themselves. Remember, they had been arguing about who was the greatest among them, and so the greatest among them shows them what it means to serve. So Jesus, the greatest, holds those filthy feet in his hands, his holy hands, and he washes those feet. He's got the whole world in his hands, and he knows that the Father has given all things into his hands, and yet he takes into his hands the dirty feet of the men who walked with him day after day, and who soon will be running from him for fear of their own life. It's amazing to think about it. God has hands. Not metaphorical language used here. In the person of Jesus, God joined to human flesh. God has hands and feet and eyes and ears, fingers and lungs, nostrils and teeth, legs, fingernails, even cuticles. And with these, he descends to take up the feet of sinful man into his hands. You can understand Peter's protest. His God should not wash his feet. This is unbecoming of a proper God. Gods should be far removed from their creation, distant from their creatures that they created, especially if their creatures have rebelled and set themselves against the goodness and graciousness of God. Gods should not become men, should not unite themselves with sinful humankind, should not have human flesh and hands, and should certainly not use those hands to take up and wash the grime away from between the toes of his disciples, the sweaty, nasty feet of these men who had walked on roads that man and beast traveled on every day. But that's what the incarnate Son of God does. So Peter objects. You shall never wash my feet. I'm assuming if we were in the same boat, we would have said the same thing. This is beneath you, don't do it. But then Jesus responds, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. I'm sure this frustrates Peter's pious pretensions. He relents, but he must have known that this was all wrong. Washing feet is not what the Christ should do, not what a God should do. This is slave labor. This is a servant's task. If God descended to take human flesh and then stopped to do the lowest position, to do the lowest job, to wash feet, well, the whole standard of human hierarchy has been turned upside down. As if that weren't enough, then Jesus adds, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." In fact, he adds, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Ouch. Good grief. As if Christianity isn't hard enough. "Do as I have done to you," Jesus says. "And as I have done." That means taking the lowest, most servile position of a foot washing servant. Love one another like that. Surely he's kidding. This servant thing must be all symbolism. Let's reason it away with our minds. Surely Jesus doesn't really expect his followers to serve because he first served them. That's just painful. I mean, we'll abide with the command to love others to a point. Love one another any way you wish, possibly. Or as the great hymn writer put it, love the one you're with. They're all too common creeds of the American popular religion. But love as I have loved you? With a foot-washing, self-deprecating kind of love? I don't think I'm in for that. That just won't get enough likes on my Twitter account or Facebook. Not enough shares. Not enough to make it worth my time. You know what it means to love others as you have wished to be loved. But to love as Jesus loves you? To love selflessly and sacrificially? That's a tall order indeed. God bless. But Jesus gives this new commandment. A mandatum novum. The reason we call today Maundy Thursday. On the night when he was betrayed, given into the hands of sinful man, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Simple, isn't it? Do this, Jesus bids. Love like this, like I do. Love those who can never deserve it, those who hate you, those who reject you, who are inclined towards your destruction, wash their feet. Assume the posture of a servant. And worse yet, absolve them of their sins. Give them forgiveness for sins. Forgiveness they could never, ever, ever deserve. Love like that, okay? But by this all people will know that you are his disciples. If you have love for one another like this. This new commandment he gives us, love like this, love incarnationally, love as flesh among flesh, love as sinner among sinners, love those who cannot and will never deserve your love, love to forgive those who are completely unforgivable, love with your hands, love in order to remove the filth and guilt, the shame of our brothers and sisters. Love in order to get dirt on your fellow, the dirt of your fellow men onto your own hands, so that they might be clean. Love because you will never be repaid. Love sacrificially. Love and never expect anything in return. Love as I have loved you, Jesus commands. So you have to ask, who does this? Only Jesus. As I have loved you, it's pretty absolute, Jesus is saying. Jesus, you see, loves perfectly. And he doesn't wait for us to love towards others to show his love towards us. He loves us. If foot washing were the extent of Jesus' love, it would be difficult enough for us. We certainly wouldn't want to emulate it all the time, but it would be difficult enough. But he doesn't have hands just to take up his disciples' grimy feet. He doesn't have fingers merely as instruments to scrub between their toes. He has the whole world in his hands, and he intends those hands to be nailed to a cross and there bear every last sin. This is his love. So behold tonight the man who loves those who are completely unlovable. Behold the man who loves those who in just a few minutes will abandon him, will flee to save their own lives. Behold the man who loves the unlovable, the rebellious, the sinful. Behold the man who loves those who could never deserve it, us. Behold the man who is God and who, in order to love his creatures perfectly and completely, became man and dwelt among us. Behold the man who loves the world completely and perfectly in his death and resurrection. If you want to love like this, like Jesus did, like he commands his disciples to love, know this, you will never get there if you rely only on your own selfish love. If you want to love like this, you've got to be loved like this. As I have loved you, Jesus says, and he is here on his altar. The fruits of Jesus' sacrificial love are in his Holy Supper for you to eat and to drink. Behold the man who gives himself in the perfect act of love. Behold the man who, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. His own body in with and under that bread. Behold the man who poured his blood in with and under the wine into the loveless mouths of his disciples to forgive their sins. Behold the man veiled in bread and wine for us to eat and to drink tonight, to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. For it is the very body and blood of Jesus that was given and shed for us, for all of our sins and for our life and our salvation. This feast of love fulfills Jesus' command to love one another. Here, as you are fed and nourished with the body and blood of the only one ever to love like this, you are strengthened, just like we say in the liturgy, in fervent love toward one another. Disciples who feed together on the same loving Lord are united together then in his love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In order to love like this, behold the man. On his altar, behold the man. On the paten, behold the man. In the chalice, behold the man. In the supper, behold the man who loves you enough to forgive you freely, fully, week after week, day after day, second after second. Behold the man who is true God, who redeems all sinners from their sins. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.